The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grant, O God, that through the written word and the spoken word, we may draw close to your living word, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we observe the last Sunday after Trinity, which is also known as Bible Sunday. The tradition of commemorating Bible Sunday on this day comes from the words of the Collect, originally one of Thomas Cranmer's in the Book of Common Prayer. The Collect encourages us to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the words of the Holy Scriptures. I like that Cranmer says scriptures rather than scripture, because the Bible is not just one book, but a collection of 66 books, which, taken together, tell the story of God's love for us and of God's ability to speak to us in various ways: history, law, narrative, poetry, drama. The Bible has occupied the lives and skills of some of the finest minds of each generation for centuries. But in terms of sales and popularity, it's still the ultimate bestseller year after year. Bible Sunday is a chance to stop and think about our attitude to the Bible. Do we really expect to hear God speak to us through Scripture? Or do we find ourselves puzzled, confused, even angered by some of what the Bible says and the ways it can be read? Bible Sunday is a good opportunity to stop and think honestly about this question, remembering that, in the words of this morning's reading from Romans, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The Bible is meant to be a source of hope and encouragement, not a source of confusion or embarrassment. Perhaps we need to begin with an understanding of what the Bible is. I see the Bible as the living, active Word of God, speaking differently to me each time I read it, because my understanding of God has developed or evolved. It is anything but a fixed rule book to settle matters of human morality once and for all. It's far more radical than that. It changes lives, inspires social movements, sets broken lives on the path to wholeness. Why? Because that is what the God who speaks through it is like. In light of this, it is unfortunate that some of the biggest disagreements in the church today rest on the question of how we should interpret particular verses of the Bible. In particular, verses in Leviticus about same-sex relationships, verses in Paul's letters about this issue and about the role of women. So what can we do? How should we read the Bible? I think we need to acknowledge what we bring to the Bible when we read it, to be aware of our own beliefs and assumptions and values. Biblical scholars sometimes talk of having a personal canon or a canon within the canon. By this they mean that although the whole Bible is the canon, we often have a personal canon or rule of interpretation within the canon that frames the way we read the text as a whole. A famous example is Martin Luther, who the church commemorates this week. Luther didn't like the book of James at all because it appeared to emphasize good works over grace. Luther's personal canon was the book of Romans and its strong emphasis on grace. At that time in church history, it was perhaps right that he took that as his approach, but that was his deliberate personal canon. So what is your personal canon? And how does it influence your reading of the Bible as a whole? If you're not too sure whether you know the Bible well enough to answer this question, that's fine too. Today is a chance for you to make a new start and really get stuck into a particular book or passage, or perhaps a new version or translation. We have a selection here in church today which we'll bless at the offertory. Perhaps you would even be tempted to take part in something called the Bible Reading Challenge, that is, reading the whole Bible from cover to cover in a year. I'm very happy to coordinate this if people are interested in doing it. However we read the Bible, we need to be prepared to approach the text with patience, as our collect tells us, and to seek guidance through commentaries, study notes, and a sense of the Bible's place in our ongoing relationship with God and understanding of God. In reading the Bible as a whole, you get a sense of the huge sweep of the narrative, the long period of time that passes as the story unfolds, the evolving understanding of God that develops, which culminates in the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. In reading the Bible as a whole, you sense that the Bible is a written record of divinely inspired human voices collectively bearing witness to an evolving human understanding of God. Sometimes these voices are difficult to reconcile with one another. Sometimes these ancient voices are difficult to reconcile with our contemporary context. When this happens, we need to set the pattern, example, and words of Christ as our ultimate authority and guide. To quote Romans, we read the Bible in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together we may with one voice glorify God. Through Christ, the symphony, even cacophony of biblical voices, can be held together in harmony. How did Jesus read the Bible? What was his personal canon? We hear it in our gospel reading, when Jesus opens the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free. Our compassionate, liberating, empowering Saviour draws on Scripture to set people free to live their lives in strength and hope, regardless of who they are and how society views them. I wonder what our interpretation of the Bible would look like if we read the Bible in this way. It may not settle the heated debates we're often caught up in, but it would help us to frame the debates differently, reminding us of what Christ held as the central message of the scriptural canon, the liberating, empowering, all-embracing love of God. Christians living in the Roman Empire had a reputation not for their heated disagreements about scripture, but for the way they seemed to embody this perspective. People would observe their conduct and say, "See how they love one another." Could people look at us as a church today and say, "See how they love one another"? Perhaps they could, if we truly read the Bible through the compassionate, loving, liberating gaze of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Christ be glory, now and forever. Amen.